Facebook's transformation from a Harvard dorm room project to a global empire is a cautionary tale of ambition untethered from responsibility. When Arturo Bejar returned to Facebook's campus in 2019, he discovered something disturbing. The user reporting system he designed had been deliberately crippled to reduce complaints by making the process convoluted. His teenage daughter had faced misogynistic comments and unsolicited explicit images on Instagram, yet the platform offered no effective recourse. This revelation perfectly captured Facebook's evolution, from connecting people to prioritizing growth at all costs. The story of Facebook isn't just about a company. It's about how algorithms quietly rewrote the rules of human interaction while few were paying attention. Facebook operated with a siege mentality from its earliest days, viewing every emerging platform as an existential threat. This defensive posture triggered frequent lockdowns, all-hands emergencies where engineers worked around the clock to copy competitors' features. Move fast and break things wasn't just marketing, it was a philosophy prioritizing expansion over consequences. The news feed, patented in 2006, transformed Facebook from static profiles to dynamic content streams. When users initially revolted against this stalker-esque feature, Facebook learned a pivotal lesson, as engagement metrics doubled anyway. User complaints could be ignored if usage statistics improved, a pattern that would repeat throughout Facebook's history. By 2012, with nearly a billion users but struggling with monetization, Joaquin Quinonero's team revolutionized the platform's advertising with sophisticated machine learning. This sparked a company-wide AI revolution, with engineers embracing a throw-hundreds-of-variants-at-the-wall approach, prioritizing performance over understanding, running over 500,000 monthly experiments across trillions of data points. The morning after Trump's 2016 election victory, Facebook's policy team gathered in Washington, where Elliot Schrage predicted, "We are going to get blamed for this." Katie Harbath, head of Facebook's elections team, found this disturbing after years of helping political parties leverage the platform in hopes of revitalizing democracy. Troubling patterns had emerged globally. Rogério Duterte's Philippine campaign succeeded using inflammatory rhetoric and misinformation, followed by Brexit using similar tactics. When Trump's campaign accepted Facebook's embedded liaison offer, James Barnes relocated to San Antonio despite his personal politics. After Trump won, Barnes was devastated, believing he had contributed to the outcome. At headquarters, employees attended grief counseling while questioning their belief that Facebook made the world more understanding. Zuckerberg dismissed fake news influence as a crazy idea, even as Trump's campaign credited Facebook for their victory. Meanwhile, BuzzFeed's analysis showed fake news had generated more engagement than mainstream news in the election's final months, with pro-Trump falsehoods dominating, contradicting Zuckerberg's claim that falsehoods on both sides would balance out. Michael McNally, who joined Facebook in 2017 after 13 years fighting spam at Google, found Facebook's approach to algorithm changes alarming. Unlike Google's thorough evaluations, Facebook relied on simplistic metrics like session length without examining individual cases, metrics McNally called crap, for failing to distinguish between genuine engagement and manipulation. In 2018, facing plummeting engagement, Zuckerberg announced a shift to Meaningful Social Interactions, MSI. The rushed implementation dramatically reweighted user behaviors. Reshares became worth 30 times more than likes, comments 15 times more, and reactions 5 times more, with all reactions valued equally regardless of sentiment. Integrity teams immediately warned this would promote conflict and outrage. Despite internal concerns, executives made MSI non-negotiable. Later analysis confirmed MSI rewarded anger, with political extremes performing best. European political parties reported feeling trapped in a cycle of negative campaigning by the platform's incentives. Jeff Allen, who joined Facebook in 2016 with a physics doctorate, discovered foreign content farms achieving manufactured virality through systematic content theft. His investigation revealed 6 of the top 10 black-themed pages were troll farms, while the top 14 Christian and Muslim pages were illegitimate, operations building massive followings for largely unknown purposes, some with connections to Russian influence operations. Facebook prioritized PR fires in the United States while neglecting problems in smaller, poorer countries, even when human consequences were more severe. When the BBC exposed domestic servants being sold on Instagram, Facebook only took meaningful action when Apple threatened to remove its apps. Facebook's AI governance failed globally because classifiers didn't work across languages, requiring separate development for each one. Even India's top languages had underdeveloped election-related classifiers, while most Indian languages had none at all, creating a divide between protected markets and rest-of-world countries. During Ethiopia's civil war, Facebook lacked hate speech classifiers in any major local language, ran 97% fewer fact checks per user than in the U.S., and didn't allow reporting violations in Oromo, the language of the country's most populous region. One internal presentation admitted, "We're largely blind to problems on our site." Despite identifying Tier 1 risks of societal violence in India, Facebook avoided normal enforcement due to business interests and fear of government retaliation, dismissing coordinated hate campaigns as too politically sensitive. Frances Haugen joined Facebook's Civic Integrity team in 2019 to combat disinformation after watching a friend become radicalized online. Frustrated by small teams with inadequate resources tackling massive problems, by December 2020, she began documenting her concerns, collecting over 10,000 internal documents in what would become the company's largest leak. These documents exposed Facebook's self-awareness, Instagram research admitting, "We make body image issues worse for 1 in 3 teen girls," VIP preferential treatment, knowledge of algorithm changes increasing anger, and failures addressing human trafficking, hate speech, and global misinformation. When the Wall Street Journal published the Facebook files in September 2021, Zuckerberg rejected calls to abandon Instagram Kids. Days after the media storm, Facebook announced its rebrand to Meta, pivoting toward the metaverse. While publicly dismissing Haugen's revelations, Meta quietly restricted internal information access, removing research documents, setting forums to secret, and instructing researchers to self-censor. Former Facebook employees organized externally to continue integrity work. Jeff Allen and Sahar Masachi created the Integrity Institute, a think tank advising the European Commission and helping new platforms avoid Facebook's mistakes. Brandon Silverman advocated for legislation requiring social media companies to share data with researchers, while Arturo Bejar testified about the platform's impact on youth mental health. Zuckerberg's metaverse pivot coincided with Facebook's first-ever user decline, triggering a $230 billion market value loss in one day. Subsequent layoffs hit integrity teams hardest, suggesting safety remained deprioritized. This cautionary tale reveals how engagement-optimized algorithms inevitably amplify divisive content and tribal thinking, not from malice, but because these emotions drive the metrics these systems maximize. The challenge extends beyond moderation to design ethics. As Bejar noted, policy enforcement is analogous to the police. It is necessary to prevent crime, but it is not what makes a space feel safe. Moving forward requires redefining success beyond engagement and developing technology that promotes genuine connection rather than exploiting vulnerabilities. Perhaps we should ask not whether algorithms can be fixed, but whether we can design digital spaces reflecting our highest values instead of our basest instincts.